All right, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 79. Now, Psalm 79 is also a psalm of Asaph. All right, Psalm 79. Verse 1. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints, beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, the and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Now let us take a look also at Psalm 137. It's 9 verses. I'll read this also. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal gracious Father, we thank you that we can come and to learn hard doctrine from these Psalms. Teach us to, in our trials, in the things that we go through that are untoward, we pray that you would grant us perspective. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been studying the Psalms, and these Psalms especially written by Asaph. And what was the background for him writing these Psalms? Well, it was the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay? I hope that by now that's abundantly clear. Right? It was the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Now, many were taken exile. And we just read in Psalm 137, the psalm of those who were taken exile. We read that, you know, they went, and by the streams of Babylon they wept, and then their captors said, hey, don't weep. Sing us one of those songs that you sing in Jerusalem. Then they were saying, how can we sing? How can we sing the songs of joy that we sang in Jerusalem when it's been taken away from us? God punish you. And, you know, daughters of Babylon, may you receive the just rewards. The person who comes, happy will he be if he takes your little children and takes their heads and bash their heads against the stone. Right? They were so angry in Psalm 137. Those were the words of the captives. In Psalm 79, you have the words of those who remained behind. Right, Asaph was one of those that remained behind. He saw the destruction of the temple, destruction of Jerusalem. Then he saw all the dead bodies lying on the streets. But despite this destruction, at the end of Psalm 79, there's thanksgiving. Huh? There's thanksgiving. Now we want to take a look at this psalm and we'll draw 4 points out. Firstly, right, as you see in your notes, right, confessing that the judgment worked, right, that was what Asaph was doing. Secondly, the plea for God's compassion. Thirdly, the prayer to honor God, or the prayer that honors God. Fourthly, the prayer for justice. And you know, whatever it is, maybe we can glean some of these things as we go through our struggles. And I think what is good, and especially, you know, we don't always apply the Psalms to our lives, right, personally, because that may not be the context. But what we see from this also is a lot of Christians today are going through persecution. Tremendous. You live in the Middle East. What happens to your head? Well, your body is here. Your head is somewhere there, right? And, I mean, it's no joking matter, but you know, it's severe. And, you know, over the news I heard that the only place that is safe for Christians in the Middle East is Israel at the moment. Right? That's the only place that's safe for Christians. So, firstly, we see here the confession, right, by Asaph that the judgment they received was just. Now, first off, in verses 1 to 4, Asaph here is lamenting that judgment had come upon God's people. Now what happened? Verse 1 tells us the temple, Jerusalem was destroyed. Verse 2 tells us that the dead bodies of the Jews had been left. And what were the creatures that were eating the bodies? Well, the birds, vultures, right? And the beasts, most likely, you know, hyenas. You know, all of these are scavengers. Then verse 3 tells us there was no one to bury them. No one to bury them. Now let me ask you, why do you think there was no one to bury them? Think. Why was there no one to bury them? Most of them have been exiled. So the remaining ones, there were so few of them left, they probably looked at these stinking bodies and said, we should bury them, but how? How to bury all of these bodies? Right? No one to bury them. And verse 4 tells us that the surrounding nations looked down on them. They were the reproach. You know, something bad happened to them, right? And probably, I mean, that the other nations felt pity, disgust, and say, why did this thing happen to this country, right? You know, sometimes disaster happens. You know, sometimes people can react one of two ways. They react with pity, or the other hand says, you deserve it, man. Right? So how did people look on them? With disgust. Now what is striking is the psalmist's language. Now, what does he say? Right, in verses 1 to 2, we see his language. And here we see him saying, what was destroyed? Thine inheritance. What else was destroyed and defiled? Thy holy temple. And then in verse 2, who were killed? Thy servants, thy saints. Wow, all of these things happened to God's people, because here the psalmist was addressing God. Oh God, right? That's the first thing that we... Now, if God is powerful, you know, why did he let this happen to his temple? His servants, his inheritance, his saints. Why did he let this happen? Unless he meant it to happen. He meant it to happen. You know, we always think, you know, bad things cannot happen to God's people, right? Right? And if bad things happen to God's people, it must be judgment, right? Sometimes it is. Other times it's trials for purification. Now remember, the Israelites, Israel, the Jews, they were God's covenant people. Let me ask you, what is a covenant? In one word. What's that? Agreement. So you make an agreement. God says, I make an agreement. I will do this for you. But do you think the Jews also had responsibilities? They also had responsibilities. So they had an agreement to do something. There were conditions also to remain in the covenant. Now verses 2 to 4, these verses here make it abundantly clear that the judgments, that the trials, that the suffering that Jerusalem and the Jews were going through was not just a trial. Was not a trial. It was chastisement. Right? We learn, what do we see here in verses 2 to 4? The birds came to eat their flesh, and the beasts also. Okay? Now this is merely describing what happens when God judges those who are unfaithful to his covenant. So the Jews here were unfaithful to God's covenant, therefore birds came to eat their flesh, thinking, where you get this from, Right? Yeah. Now take a look at Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 9 to 11. Genesis 15, 9 to 11. Let me read this for you. It says here, and he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these things, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece again, one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now, Genesis 15 here, this is talking about God's covenant with, right? Now, what happened? How did he divide the animals? You know, the King James here is divide. Anyone have a different version which says something else? What does the Chinese version say? What's that? Pikai, yeah. So divide means to slice in half, divide them. Right? Then he put them against one another, facing one another. If you read on in Genesis 15, what happened? What happened between these things? What happened? The what? The fowls came down, yes, but after that. What happened with regard to these things? What's that? Really? Was it burned? Verse 17. Yeah. Right? What happened? When? Yeah. The sun went down. So when it was dark, behold, there was a smoking furnace, a burning lamp. So a big fire. It didn't burn them. What did it do? It passed between the pieces. This is a very interesting thing, you know? Now, today, if we make a covenant, what do? Sign, huh? Right? You have the contract of the penalties. You have the rewards, right? So that's the way we do it. Or what we do is, you know, we shake on it, right? In those days, in the Near East, how they made a covenant, two parties would come together, they would take an animal, take an axe, and then hayak chop, right? Then they would divide the pieces. Then the people making the covenant would walk through, right, between these two pieces. And that was their signature. Essentially, they were saying, if I don't keep my agreement, may this happen to me. Right? This is essentially what it was. Right? This is how they made a covenant. Right? If we break the agreement, may we be cut asunder. May the fowls of heaven come and eat our carcasses. Essentially, this was a sign of judgment. So, in Jerusalem, when the birds came to pick, it is a picture of someone who has been cut off. Right? This concept of cut. Now, let me ask you also, right, how did Israel, what was the sign of the covenant for them between God and the people? It's another cut, right? It's a painful cut. Right? Here, if you do not keep the covenant of God, right, you will be cut off from Israel, right? You will be judged, the birds will come, right, and eat you up. So in Jerusalem, right, this picture, the birds picking at the dead carcasses, right, it was a symbol that the people were cut off from God's blessing. There was no one to bury them. This was an ultimate judgment. Right, so Asaph recognized that. Now, was this just? Was it just? Birds would come and pick at their carcass. Was this a just judgment? And the answer really is yes, it was a just judgment because of idolatry. You know, they wanted to follow their own way, and Asaph recognized that these things were from the Lord as judgment. You know, he even asked in verse 5, how long, Lord, will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Jealousy. Now, think back. When was the time that God says, for I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity upon the third and fourth generations? When did God say that? Come on. Right? When it was in connection to? Yeah. Which commandment? The second commandment. Right? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not bow down. For when you do, right, why don't you do this? Because the Lord, he is a jealous God. Right? So here, Asaph in verse 5 recognized that the judgment they received was because of the jealousy of God, because the people worshipped idols. Right? It was because the people worshipped idols. Idols. Now let's take a look at Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5. Right? Can someone read that, please? So this was the covenant that God also made. These commandments were the requirements that God had of the people in order for them to remain as the nation of Israel. They had to keep these commandments, and because they broke it, they received the judgment. So when the psalmist asks how long God's jealousy will burn, he's saying that he knows that the people deserve, right, the judgment because of that idolatry. So here he confessed that the judgment was deserved. But secondly, we see here that he pleads for God's compassion. Now we look at verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 79. Here he confesses the sin of the people and he pleads for mercy. He says, "Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." Now the psalmist here, he knows that God's people deserve... No. Do God's people deserve forgiveness? Let me ask. Do God's people deserve forgiveness? No. But he knows that God's people need forgiveness, and he knows that seeking forgiveness is the only right response to judgment. So here he was coming to God with pleas, right? Oh, please, you know, we're brought very low. You know, God, look at how low we've been laid. We need your compassion, not a little mercy, but a lot of mercy. So the psalmist here knows his need, right? It's a shame that, you know, we don't see the greatness of our need, you know, as often as we should. You know, often we come with the attitude that we deserve forgiveness. God, how come you don't give me forgiveness? How come you don't give me blessing? I deserve it, right? But he did not, right? But here, Asaph, you know, did not do that. Rather, he pleaded from God this mercy. And the third point I think is important. He pleaded, right, for this mercy, but he did not, how do you say, found his plea for forgiveness on the fact that he deserves it, but he found his plea for forgiveness on the character of God. Verses 9 to 10. He says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Or should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed." Now this is a prayer I believe that God honors. What was the psalmist's plea based on? It was based on God's character. Now in verse 9, he essentially says, "Help us." Why? Because we deserve it? Because we are so pitiful? Help us. Why? For thy name's sake. Right? For thy name's sake. Then, you know, for the glory of thy name, deliver us, purge us. You know, we do not come, "I deserve this deliverance, so God, you must give it to me, but so that your name be glorified. Don't let the unbelieving nations, the heathen, question, where is your God? You believe in God? How come you're still in, you know, this judged..." You know, that the psalmist doesn't say, "Forgive us because we deserve it. You know, help us because we're very nice. Show mercy because we are needy." You know, yes, show mercy because we are very low, but do it for your glory. All right? That is a prayer that God honors. You know, and that, I suppose, is a prayer that all of us must assume even to become Christians, isn't it? Right? Save me, Lord, because I deserve it. You must treat me well now because I've sought forgiveness and I'm your child. No. You know, it's only for your glory. I am nothing. I am not important. Right? For your name's sake. Now, fourthly, we see here that his prayer was also a prayer for justice. Now, there are three parts to this prayer. It was a prayer of vengeance, right? He is asking God to revenge the blood of God's servants. Secondly, he asked God in verse 11 to preserve the prisoners, those who are appointed to die. Then, thirdly, he prays in verse 12, to render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach. Right? Who were the neighbors that he was talking about here? The Babylonians, right? I mean, we may look at this maybe with New Testament eyes, and we're thinking, I thought love thy neighbors as thyself, right? But here, these neighbors, right, deserve this punishment, right? Deserve sevenfold, right? So basically, Asaph is asking that the blood of the people would be returned to their enemies, right? Would, you know, the death of the Israelites, the Jews, would be heaped on, would be meted out on the Babylonians. And this is why we, as a people, we can understand Psalm 137. You know, maybe it will come time for us to sing Psalm 137 in church. And then can we utter, you know, then as we sing, oh, take their heads and dash them on a stone, you know. But here, that's why we can sing it, because we know that God brings justice. And we may think as New Testament Christians, oh, you are so horrible. How can we say such a thing? Hey, have you ever read the book of Revelation? You know, the kind of judgment that people will receive. All right, this theme of judgment of the wicked is not just an Old Testament theme. It's also a New Testament theme. What about those Christians today who are being beheaded? What about the martyrs of the century who were burned? What about the reformers, right, in the 16th and 17th century? Who were burned at the stake. What's to happen to them? Does God not care for them? And the answer is, of course God cares for them. And that's why you even have in Revelation the judgment. You know, in Revelation 16, what judgments are those? Those are the bold judgments, the vile judgments, right? Let's take a look at Revelation 16. All right. These speak here about the vile or the bold judgments. Now, verse 1 reads of Revelation 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, if you read there, what kind of judgment does the first vial bring? What does it say there? What's that? Sores, right? Sores on the body. So it's a plague, right? Now the second one, what does it do? The second vial, what does it do? Blood in the sea. Then the third vial, blood where? Rivers, huh? So we're basically here, it's saying that the judgment will be thorough, right? Not just the seas, right? But inland as well, right? Right? Then in verses 5 and 6, wow, what does it say? And I heard the angel of the water say, you know, God said, you know, to the angel, you know, pour the vial into the sea, pour the vial into the rivers. And this angel says to God, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are what? Yeah, you know what that means? You deserve it. I'll be good. You deserve it. You know, that's what the wicked deserve. Right? So, we as New Testament Christians, we can't say, oh, yo, the Old Testament's full of judgment. Oh, we like to say John 3:16. We don't like to talk about Revelation 16. But remember John 3:16, the basis of John 3:16 is what? You deserve that. You deserve that blood. Everyone deserves that blood. But Christ takes upon himself the blood that you ought to receive. And, you know, if you reject Christ, you reject the only way, right, to escape the vile judgments, right? To read Revelation 17, 18, 19, all the way to 20, we see that God is visiting his judgment on those who have wronged his people. So Psalm 79 is basically praying for this vengeance, right? So armed with this kind of knowledge, right, Asaph is praising God. Verse 13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Now this psalm is looking at the destruction of the temple, destruction of the city, and he concludes the psalm with thanksgiving and praise, the same way, you know, that all of us ought to be able to do. Now we might be thinking, you know, see how, see the destruction, see the bodies he is giving. But he is giving thanks knowing what God would do. You know, in the same way, what would Job say? When everything was taken away from him, what did he say? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, and then what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Habakkuk, what did he say? Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now, fig tree represents? Israel, right? We've been studying that. And neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I think the psalm has various applications. Like I said, you know, I don't think we should be always very quick to say, let me apply this psalm to my life. Unless you've gone, you know, through judgment at the hands of enemies, right? But what we do know is that, you know, we are in trouble. We bring our woes straight away to God. Right? And we are never so deeply in trouble that we cannot thank God and praise God. The psalmist reminds us about that. And it also reminds us that our restoration, our, you know, so-called forgiveness is not based on our right. It's only based on God's honor and his glory. I think that's a good reminder. So with that, let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have forgiven us, not because we have sought for forgiveness, but because of your covenant. And because of your covenant, which is unilateral, not only provided the sacrifice, but you have also provided the faith. You have also provided the repentance. And because you have supplied the grace for our faith in you and our repentance from our sin, if you would not forgive, your reputation, O Lord, will be downtrodden. And so we thank you that because of who you are and who you are alone, that is why you do save. And we thank you that you do love us. So Father, as your people, as your servants, we would respond meekly, knowing our place, and knowing that our place is an exalted position only when we glorify you.